This is a Strevo podcast, which is a platform for women with disabilities in East Africa and small developing island states to highlight their experiences, challenges, and opportunities for strengthening their voice to actively participate in climate change policy and negotiations. Hi, my name is Susan Grease, and welcome to another episode where we discuss matters of climate change and inclusion. And joining me today, we have an amazing, amazing panel whom I'm going to give an opportunity to introduce yourselves. And I'm going to start with my immediate left, Mr. Paul.
My name is Paul Mugambi. I'm a disability inclusive humanitarian expert, and also I run a voluntary organization called Disability Sausage Media, where climate change, issues of technology, and humanitarian work are discussed, and we ensure that we reduce ableism in order to include everyone in the society.
My name is Faith Gikunda from ICASA. ICASA stands for Inclusive Climate Change Adaptation for Sustainable Africa. It's an organization that is fronting the inclusion of people with disability in climate change actions. And I am the communication and advocacy team lead. And by inclusion, we mean that we are advocating for a fair environment for people with disability to actively participate in climate change decisions, policy making, and also informing negotiations at the global level.
I am Faustina Urasa from Songabele Initiative Organization based in Kilimanjaro, Tanzania. We are working to advocate for inclusion for all.
All right, fantastic. Now, Mr. Paul, let me come to you. There's somebody who's listening and they're thinking this should be two separate discussions, either persons with disability or climate change. But here we are talking about inclusion and how to merge the two. What do you have to say about it?
Personally, since I've lived that experience of having a disability, and in my past work, I've also worked in the area around climate change and issues of disability, I would rather say that when climate change is well handled, it will support or enable persons' abilities to be included in the community. Why am I saying so? It is because 16% of the world's population is persons' abilities, who are the largest minority and who are normally ignored in terms of the socioeconomic and cultural practices. And when you look at issues around climate change, whether we talk about water access, environment, energy, all these things, when they are supposed to be triggers or enablers for any development to take place, and when persons' abilities are not having these services like water, good energy, it seems that they will be affected automatically. And when you look at in terms of the vulnerability, persons' abilities are the ones who are left behind in terms of many development affairs. Looking in the in terms of even the rural or remote areas, where I come from, you find that most of the time when these issues around disaster, issues around climate affect persons' abilities more than other persons without disabilities.
All right. And of the 16% you've mentioned, Faith, let me come to you. Some of those are women who are living with disability. How can we empower them to have a voice when it comes to participating in climate change discussions and negotiations?
We need to look at women with disability like any other woman, but with the need of having more detailed or having more inclusive ways of enabling them to participate in climate action. For example, we need to really look at some of the things that they need. Let's say, for example, if it's moving around to attend meetings, if it's moving around to participate in policy making, we need to ensure that we facilitate them in a way that they are able to actively participate. And by that, I mean that the women with disability are able. Women with disability actually have the solutions of what affects them in line with climate change. So we need to ensure that the tools and technologies that are required are accessible. And by that, what I mean is that, for example, if it's resources, when thinking about involving women with disability, we need to consider that when moving around, they need, let's say, like guides that will support them in their movements. We need to consider that so that when we are facilitating one woman with disability, we count the extra person that will assist them. And by so doing, then we will be facilitating them to participate, because it's not like they are not able to participate, but it's how they reach the decision-making table. So we need to ensure that that is availed, either by bringing them closer to the decision-making table or taking the table to them, even at the grassroots level.
Wow. I think, Susan, there's something I would like to emphasize, what Phil has really come up talking about. It's what you call in the UNCRPD, the United Nations Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities, we call reasonable accommodation. And when this one is practiced, it enables public participation or even public forums whereby the voices, self-representation is really emphasized. And also it brings that action that you are not engaging them in the last moment. You are involving them in terms of the cycle, the whole of it.
Mm-hmm, right. And maybe nikuje kwako tuongelee changamoto. What are some of the challenges women who are living with disability experience that once we resolve them, we create an opening for them to come forward to participate in these discussions?
Well, the issue of challenge for women with disability is very crucial. And as you can think, all over the world, women are facing a lot of challenges. Even women without disability, they are raising their voice to be, so that they can be included in so many issues, the issue of climate change, election, leadership, and other stuff like that. But when it comes to women with a disability, we are facing this challenge 3 or 4 times compared to women without disability. For instance, if we want to go somewhere, Susan, you have to think, you don't have to think twice. What do you know? You just need to have your fare, then you pick border or bus, and then you off you go. But for women with disability, we need to think like, how am I going to get out from my house? Is the house accessible? Will there be someone to assist me to get out from the house? And then where are you going? Do you have enough money to catch the taxi? Because we can depend on the type and kind of disability. You cannot use public transport. And this because in public transport, you're going to face multiple discrimination and even the, I don't know, how do you call them here?
There's a stereotyping, some sort of judgment.
I'm talking, when you are getting to matatu, there is that utingo.
Yes, conductor.
Conductor, thank you very much. And then they will just pass you because they will think twice, like if they were going to pick Faustina, that means they're going to pick me, and then they will assist me to the car, to the matatu, and then my wheelchair. That means they are going to charge me and my wheelchair. And then it will take time before they put me to the matatu. And then they will need enough time again to disembark my wheelchair. You understand? So they just pass. Because again, I can use boda. So you need, where Susan, you can go by 500, I'm talking about 2 shillings. Me, as a woman with a disability, I'm going to use 20 shillings, 20,000. And then there is the issue of discrimination. I am a woman. People will look at me as a woman, again, as a woman with a disability. Once they see me in my wheelchair, they're going to conclude, I cannot walk, I cannot speak, I cannot think. There is nothing positive from me. I cannot defend myself. I don't know my right. Again, there is issue of economic empowerment. Do you have that 20,000 to take the private tax? And this is because, again, there is no opportunity for women with a disability to be employed. Again, they are looking at you as a woman and as a woman with a disability. And if you are going to be employed, you're going to pay very low, yet you need someone to assist me. And because you need someone to assist you, this is a burden already to the company or to someone who wants to employ you.
Yeah.
But again, when it comes to the issue of raising our voice, the community thinks that we are just bigger killing kerele. You know, we demand too much. We demand too much. But they don't understand the pressure they are putting on women with a disability, because the community think that we can't. Now, when it comes to the issue of climate change, That is when we are not included at all as a woman, a woman and a woman with a disability. Is the community, they don't see that we are part of that climate change. They think that we have nothing to do with that. They think that we have nothing we can contribute. But we as women with a disability, we know. Give us an opportunity. And if we don't give us our opportunity, we're going to connect. And we know once we are connected, we will be connected. Yes.
I love that. Faith, as I'm listening to her, I'm thinking, wow, as much as we're talking about empowering the woman who's living with disability, and giving her a voice, I think we first need to go back to our roots and make sure that our society is more accommodating. Do you have the same sentiments?
Yes, mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Because it starts from the communities. It starts from sensitizing the communities and making them understand that women with disability have a voice. And how do we do this? It is by continually giving women with disability and the larger disability community the platforms to speak, the platforms to share their views, and also ensuring that we engage them in the discussions right from the start, like you're saying, right from the community.
Yeah.
Where when they are, let's say, for example, in Kenya, we've been talking a lot about public participations. If there is a public participation, then we need to ensure that everyone is brought on board. Because I believe the solutions come from the grassroots moving upwards. So we need to ensure that they speak at all levels. Right from the grassroots, right to the national level and to the global level.
Right. I like that you've also highlighted and touched on public participation. Paul,
yes.
Do you think enough awareness is created to let people with disability know that they are being welcomed to the table?
Oh, that's a big topic because matters public participation in Kenya, it has not yet reached where it's supposed to be in terms of inclusivity. Because many a times you find that people are invited for forums in the last minute. They are not aware of what it's being discussed. Maybe a few individuals, what I've seen at the community level, having been the rural place whereby you just hear announcement 2 days to the forum, even you don't have that item which is being discussed, and it is not even in an accessible format where one can be able really to scrutinize what will be discussed, and then you find that in the the public participation forum, you find that government officials, especially at the county level, or even at the national level, they just come and read what is there, and then they claim it's a public participation thing. And myself, being a public policy scholar, I sometimes question them, and then what happens is that I'm being discriminated because they think that I'm not supposed to be there. And sometimes they think that a person with a disability, why is he talking like this?
Mm.
And at the end of the day, you find that you are forced by the community or by the circumstance or the experiences which you have undergone to advocate even for other things which you're not supposed to be talking about. For example, if all of us are talking about water, why am I forced to talk about accessibility of water myself as a blind person? While we know that at the end of the day, the water is supposed to be accessible for all. So it's a big question whereby we really need to look in terms of how can participation of at the community level to ensure that issues around inclusion becomes automatic, such that at the end of the day, when you find yourself discussing about water, you ask yourself, how can this water be accessible to a blind person, a person with a physical impairment? How can he be able to maybe turn that tap?
Faustina, there's probably a lady anakutazama leo anasema, ojo, Faustina maybe amesoma na an education. I'm thinking about that woman who's back in the village who's also disabled, I beg your pardon. Does she also have a chance at coming forward and participating in these discussions?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, a lot of people once with disability, women are living in rural areas where the information are very minimal. But there is something should be done. If we are talking about inclusion, it doesn't mean only about gender and people with a disability. Even the people who are outside, in countryside, in this That is where you can find a lot of women with a disability. They have voice. And I can tell you something, they have a lot of information if we talk to them. It's not about the level of your education. What I can say is it is not about masters, it is not about a degree. It is about what you can deliver. So use your voice. Your voice is your power. Everyone has something, not only something, but something unique. How many of us are we taking this information back to the grassroots? This is what we should have be doing. You know, go to the rural area, gather these women with a disability, empower them, build their self-esteem. You know, this is very important because I've been there. You know, I remember how I used to be, you know, feeling shy, coming front. I didn't want people to see me in a wheelchair. But once I was empowered, that is Faustina is speaking here.
Come on now.
You know, so that. let's identify more people with a disability in rural areas, empower them and get new ideas, information. Mm-hmm. And that is what you can say. Participatory inclusion, but also sustainability of what we are doing.
I agree. Because sometimes you just need to empower one person in the village. Na inenda ikisambaa hivyo.
Yes, I'd also like to mention something about that. And I wanted to say that how you take disability and climate change can either be complex or very simple, depending with your approach. For example, what Faustina has said is empowering people from the grassroots. And if you empower people from the grassroots, then your journey onwards becomes very simple because you'll not be going back all the time to like try and find information, but you will be working from a point of understanding. And that is what now we call understanding the disability intersectionality, where you start by looking at women with disability as a whole and going deeper into understanding of where they live, whether it's in town, whether it's in the communities. Once you understand that, you will go deeper into looking at is this woman with disability widowed? Is this a woman with disability a single woman? A single parent. As you move on, like drawing those lines, then those lines is what will inform you of the kind of interventions, even in terms of climate.
Well, thank you so much for expanding on that. Paul, let me come to you. Yeah. We have tabled the challenges. We have talked about we need to sanitize the society. Moving forward, what else do we need to do to encourage inclusivity in conversations pertaining climate change?
Wow. I think as the way Faith was trying to put it, having the vulnerability analysis of women with disabilities, understanding the issue about the data collection, because when we are able to collect information about women with and without disabilities, you are also able to plan for the numbers. Secondly, as a part of the solution, you are also ensure that the climate financing, when it occurs, they have to have what we call disability budgeting in putting in place. As when you look in terms of how budgeting is being done by different agents, organization, whether it is public or private, we have to ensure that we have inclusive budgeting such that at the end of the day, you are able to know that even if I'm doing this particular function, at the end of the day, I must have a person's abilities on board and they must be catered for. Another solution can be ensuring there's a lot of advocacy in terms of stigma reduction, reaching out to the community level in terms of the, you know, some communities there, they are more of traditional. They have not yet changed completely. So you also need to ensure that there is also that inclusivity. We really need to embrace some of these inclusivity so that we can be able to enable more empowerment. Thirdly, when you talk about issues around climate change, and when you look in terms of development, the top-bottom approach of the government sometimes it sorts amazes me. While we have good public policy think tanks around, for example, when you discuss about Nairobi development, when you talk about maybe some industries, some airport, some manufacturing, why don't we think of decongesting the city and taking some particular development in other regional places so that we can decongest some places so that we can reduce at least even that environment pollution within some particular place, or even if come up with solutions which can enable more opportunities for everyone, and more when you talk about maybe women disabilities at that grassroots level, when they have opportunities there, they are also able to participate. They are able to say, I can be able to cater for the needs, because you know that at the end of the day, poverty is a twin to disability. Mm-hmm. And when such things are not being discussed at the bottom there, when they're not involved, it's not really possible. People need to understand. And when you find solutions, if they are more inclusive, everyone will enjoy. Because what I normally tell people myself is that at 75% of our lifetime, you can get a disability. You can join this club. It is not made for us who have it right now. It is for everyone, because there are many things which are happening in this world, earthquake, terrorism, which cause disability, road accidents. And when you make these issues inclusive, it would be a big problem. And that's why sometimes you find that when people get disability because of maybe road accident, maybe some other thing, they take time to accept themselves. And that one becomes a big issue, because the time you are taking to lament, you'd have used it for something else. So just imagine if everything was inclusive, how the world would be beautiful.
Faustina, let me come to you even as we bring this to a close. Do you have any parting shots?
Well, I am encouraging specifically women with a disability, because, you know, as I say, women, we are facing a lot of challenges, you know, denial, isolation, you know, and other stuff like that. But what I believe, there is no permanent challenge in this world. Every challenge will pass. So what I always encourage them is, if you feel like you cry, cry. Cry and cry again. But futa machozi yako, stand up and keep on moving. That's what that can tell. And the message I'm going to leave to the community is, people with a disability, we are. We will, and we will include us.
We should reduce what we call internal ableism. Internal ableism is whereby you're not confident about yourself. You are fearing what they'll say when you talk about your issues. You are fearing to tell maybe an employer that you have a disability, you need to be given reasonable accommodation. You are fearing to say in the public forum you need maybe Braille. That internal ableism is what we need to reduce. Mm-hmm. And I believe that through that, more persons' abilities can come out and speak for themselves. Because sometimes when you speak for yourself, it is worth more than any other person speaking for yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Faith, there's something you said that has stuck with me. We either invite them to the table, but if they cannot come, we take the table to them. And so I have to ask, do we have enough organizations, enough initiatives, enough parties that are helping us take that table to the people who are there?
To answer you is yes, there are so many people working in this space, and we need to all come together, work together. And also, as much as we are working together, ensure that the interventions that we are undertaking are informed by the women with disability themselves and people with disability themselves. Mm-hmm. Because again, we might be carrying the table and taking it to the people with disability, even at the grassroots, but this table is either too big or too small for them.
Right.
So, yes, so we need to ensure that we are giving them an opportunity to decide what is served on that table. And once they make that decision, then we can support them to have a bigger voice, to refine their solutions, And by so doing, then we'll be able to work together and also continue empowering each other.
Thank you so much for adding on to that. That is Faustina, Faith, and Paul. Thank you so much for gracing this podcast. This has been amazing. I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot. I'm going home with a lot of knowledge, and thanks to you guys. And I hope to see you in the next episode. My name is Susan Grace.